Good afternoon, everyone. We're into week three of a series that we've entitled Belonging, Believing, Behaving, Gateway and Me. 2 weeks ago, we reminded ourselves that the whole idea of church wasn't our idea. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that he would build his church, a gathering of people around his name, and that for 2,000 years he has been doing that, and that we today are the prophetic fulfillment of that word. You see, it's exciting to know that Jesus has been at the epicenter of the local church for 2,000 years, and that we have the privilege of being part of his ongoing work right here in Caerphilly. And then last week, Pete looked at the subject of what it means to belong to that gathering of people. He reminded us that belonging to a church is not like belonging to a health club.
It's not the same as belonging to a golf club, or indeed any other social club. That's not what we are here. You see, we're not members of a club. That's not what we're called to. Pete reminded us last week of an amazing truth, that we're not members, but we're family. See, God says that when we give our lives to his Son and we accept what his Son did for us on a cross, that we become his children, heirs to his kingdom. And if I'm a child of God, Pete's a child of God, Jane's a child of God, Joe's a child of God, Raph even, as a Brazilian, then we're brothers and sisters. We're family. So it's not membership of a club. It's about family gatherings. And you know, you might not feel so today, but this is a family gathering. Church gatherings, whether we're meeting here on a Sunday, meeting to pray, meeting for socials, in houses during the week, they are family gatherings. That's what the Bible says. And I don't know whether you feel the family gatherings or not. You might do, because typically when families get together, there's arguments and we don't always get on with each other, right? So, and that's true in church as well. Let's be honest, at times we rub each other up the wrong way. But we're family, and families get over those things, right? That's what families are about. Okay, so this is a family gathering. Being part of church is being part of a family. However, it's more than that. We're more than that. Peter, first slide, please, I think. Is it? I can't remember. No, sorry, I didn't bring that up as a slide. Take it back. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 9 say, I might have the slides out of order. You're going to shoot me now. Is it there? Can you see? Eye test. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 9, anyway, say, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you are also like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Let me say that again. Don't worry, Pete. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you are also like living stones. So there's another picture. We are like living stones being built into a spiritual house. That's another part of what it means to belong to a church. But he goes on, remember we talked about family, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, listen to these words, God's special possession. Do you feel like you're God's special possession today? Because you are. You see, the amazing thing about these words in the Bible is it doesn't matter how I feel from moment to moment or day to day. These are true however we believe, however we feel. And you know, today, however you feel, just listen to this truth. You are God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. That's what we've been doing. That's what we've just done. We've been declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness. Once you were not a people, but now you and I are the people of God. Once we hadn't received mercy, but now we are people under mercy. That's who we are, folks. This isn't membership of a club. This is family getting together to celebrate all that God's done for us. The fact we're living stones being built together. The fact that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special possession. That's what this is about. But you know, it goes even more beyond that. The other picture that Paul uses is that we're one body. That picture in Corinthians about being one body with many parts, arms and legs, so on and so forth, right? We're going to get to it in a second. We're one body, okay? And you know what? Parts of the body don't have an option of not being together. The leg can't go off and do its own thing and say, I'm not going to meet with the rest of the body. The arm can't do that. There isn't an option about being together. And you know, frankly, I don't believe we actually have an option of not meeting together as a church. You know, there's verses in the Bible that talk about don't neglect meeting together. So you might feel church is optional. You know, some people think they can be a Christian without going to church. I don't think that's an option, guys. When I read the Bible, the leg doesn't go off and do its own thing and say, well, I'll hop along on my own, right? There is a body, and we're here as living stones to be built up together. So hanging out together, frankly, is not an option. It's what we're called to do. So, are there any benefits of hanging out together? What are the benefits of us meeting together? This is the first interactive bit, just to warn you, right? So, let's be positive. What are the benefits of us actually meeting together, whether it's here now, whether it's socials, whether it's small groups, whatever it is? Give me some benefits of us meeting together. Encourage each other. Thank you, Kath. Worshipping together. Okay, great. Building relationships. Thank you. Go on, there must be more. A sense of not being on your own. Right, very important. Praying together. And having fun together. Church people can have fun, right? We don't have to have long faces. We can, and we do as a church, have fun together. That's great. What else? It's easier to do it together. That picture, you maybe think of this, it's one that's used quite a lot, but just because it's used quite a lot doesn't make it not true. There's a picture of, imagine each of us as coals, and glowing coals, and if you take a hot glowing coal out of the fire, and I went and put that, I won't put it on the table because it's, but you imagine, I put that glowing coal on the table, I'll leave that glowing coal there, what's going to happen after a while? The glow will go out, thank you. It will start to lose its heat and its intensity. You take that coal that's going cold and you put it back in a place with hot coals, and what happens? It starts to gain back its intensity. And that's part of not feeling alone together, not feeling alone, being part of something, building each other up, encouraging each other. There are other things in there, maybe slightly less pleasant, but equally true, and some of you will go, oh, I know that, right? Sharpening. The Bible talks about as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen each other. You could put the slide up now with the pictures on, Pete. Right? There is an element of we sharpen each other up. And I'll tell you, I've experienced this in a wonderful way. This is a positive, by the way, folks. This is a positive. I can name you people, I won't do today because some are in this room, but others aren't, who have sharpened my Christian life up. There's a guy who was the inspiration for me in terms of knowing what it was to be like to be a real man of faith, who heard from God, heard things that were not yet, and had the faith that God was calling them to be and was prepared to act now on things that he could not see. That has stuck with me through my life. There are other people who have challenged me in terms of their heart for reaching out to people who don't know him, Other people have challenged me about what it means to be a person who prays faithfully to others, to read the Bible faithfully. I can go on and on and on. And those people challenge me to grow in my Christian life. That's the iron sharpening iron. You know, there's another one, and I was going to bring, I'm kicking myself now because I didn't bring this today. I was going to. These stones here, talks about living stones. I was going to bring a plastic bag with a whole bunch of stones in them and start shaking the bag. And what happens if, maybe put it in a machine rather than by hand, but if you start to take a whole load of stones and you keep shaking them, what happens? Smooth, thank you. I was hoping somebody was going to say they all crack up. They smooth off, right? They smooth out. The stones smooth each other. You know, and you may think this is the odd from sharpening, but there is an element of truth that actually, when we meet together, we smooth each other's rough edges off. Because we do rub each other up the wrong way occasionally. You know, and part of being family is we have to get over that. Because when you pray that Lord's Prayer, you pray that bit that says, forgive me, or allow me to forgive others as you've forgiven me, right? And when you rub me up, I have to ultimately say, well, Father, you've forgiven me, so whatever they've done to me, I will forgive them. And there's that smoothing that takes place. So that's what being part of church and getting together is, lots and lots of benefits. And one of the benefits is that God gives us small children who come into our lives to bless us as a church, and we love having the kids, so don't worry about that. That's all part of church family. We're a family, right? And we've got two new young members of the family. And then the other benefit of this is those wonderful verses that say, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you what? Love one another, okay? So not only is it good for us, but as we love each other and demonstrate that in itself is a witness to those who don't know him. So, next interactive bit. How do we put this into practice? What are the ways in which we can meet together? Come on, this is easy. What are the ways in which we can meet together? Invite people to your house. Yeah? Go on, this isn't hard. Church on Sunday, thank you. What were you going to say? The same. So, church on Sunday, we're here today. Prayer meetings. Go on. Church groups. Any more? Social events. Go on, keep going. There are more, yeah? Lots more. Be creative. Email. And text. WhatsApp? All right. Be creative, right? Maybe foreign, maybe, but actually ways of building each other up and encouraging each other and doing all those things. Outreach events. As Raf said, invite people to your home. Invite them for food. Just invite them for a coffee. Go to the pub. No, didn't say that, did I? No. Why not? Go to the pub. You may only want to drink an orange juice, but go to the pub and sit there and say, How's your week? What's going on? Right, they're all ways. I think I flashed some of them up on the next slide, didn't I, just to give you, we've covered them. Lots of ways. And I would encourage you to get creative, right? Lots of ways in which we can demonstrate family and being part of family to each other and getting together and encouraging each other. Okay. However, so far, if you can put the next slide up, Pierre, I'm going to suggest there's a core missing ingredient to everything I've talked about so far. This missing ingredient is sadly one that too often gets overlooked. Any suggestions? I'll give you a clue. Sadly, it's a person that often gets too overlooked. No? Sorry? Jesus. Could be Jesus. I would say the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's where I'm going. The Holy Spirit. You know, because we've said We need love. We need patience. We need gentleness. We need to be kind to each other. What do those things sound like? Fruits of the Spirit. Have you got the next slide? Right? The fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I've needed all of those when we got together. Right? Let's be honest. And they're part of family life. You know, even in your human families, you need some of those things at times. And the Holy Spirit, those are, if you don't know, this is from Galatians 5, 21 to 23, or 22 to 23, they are what we Christians call the fruits of the Spirit. They are the outworking of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, and the fact that He gives us a genuine love for Raph. Sorry, Raph, I'm picking on you today. You shouldn't be in here, should you? Right? But, you know, I can generally say, you know, guys, forgive me, I love you all. I love you all because Christ loves you, right? And we may not naturally get on. We may have different personalities, different likes and dislikes, but you are my family. And the missing ingredient in getting together, and almost my picture was with those stones, that smoothing process, actually, although I'm not a chemist or whatever else, when you want to smooth things, you generally put a smoothing powder or some other ingredient in to help smooth things, whether it be liquid like water or something else to smooth stuff out, right? And I'm going to suggest to you today that the Holy Spirit is our smoothing ingredient for us as church, that gives us the gentleness, the patience, the self-control, the love to get on as a family and develop as a family. So we really mustn't overlook the Holy Spirit in this. So the next verses are from 1 Corinthians 12. Should come up on here. Yep. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, for those of you who are astute and know your Bible, this is in the same chapter where Paul talks about as being one body. No coincidence. This is in the next verses talk about as being one body, an arm and a leg and an eye and a mouth and etc. And I don't believe there's any coincidence. So these verses come first. He says this in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. Different kinds of gifts, the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. And I've highlighted three words at the start there. And if any of you are wondering about this thing called spiritual gifts and the role of the Holy Spirit, there is perfect harmony between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit here. Do you notice that? Right? Full Trinity participation. The Holy Spirit gives His gifts. Our service using those gifts is in response to what Jesus has done for us. And then God works in us and through us as a result. Perfect harmony of the Trinity. And then it goes on. We talked about building up. You see this? Why are the gifts given? For the common good. Don't be afraid of them. They are love, joy, patience, peace, etc., etc. And then the other gifts in terms of knowledge and wisdom and prophecy and so on and so forth are not to tear down. They are to build up. To one there's given spirit of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, different kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them just as He determines. These gifts are given to build each other up. They're given for family support. You see, Paul here is talking about bodybuilding. He's talking about bodybuilding, building the body, building each other up. That's what we're talking about. And then, we're drawing to a close, you'll be delighted to know, but I hope you're with me. I just want to finish by developing a theme that actually came out of the prayer meeting this morning. And just, if you're still in any doubts about us being family and why we should love each other and why we should care for each other, I just want to remind you again of what God has done for you and for I. So, Pete, the next slide should be Colossians 3 and Ephesians. We were reminded of these this morning. Just listen to Ephesians 1:13 here. As you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. So if you've responded to the message of truth and given your life to him, this is what God has done in return. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. And we were looking this morning at seals and signet rings. You know those where you get a seal on a ring and you put the ring into wax and that becomes a seal? Well, if you want to do a study, George has got a brilliant study on signet rings and seals and what it means. And this is just one example. You were sealed with a promise when you gave your life to him. The promised Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells within you as a seal of what he has done in your life and is working in your life to you to bear the fruit that we've talked about. And then Colossians 3, as God's chosen people, and we already know that from what we've read earlier, we're holy and dearly loved, and what does he say? So because of who we are, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Do you recognize those? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, there's this phrase, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Here we go. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So this is who you're meeting with today. You're not meeting with common people, right? There's a song there somewhere. Roger knows the song. You're not meeting with common people. You are meeting with heirs to the kingdom of God. Your brothers and sisters who've been sealed with a promise of the Holy Spirit living within their lives. Each of us in this room are living stones being built into a holy spiritual house that is built and designed to give praise to him. That's why we're here. And finally, and I probably said finally once already, I was reminded this week from Claire Hughes, who's not in the room, so I can give her the credit, about how this then outpours into the presence in our community. And you know, it was great this week. Again, I won't name names, but at least two people on different occasions this week have commented on the positive effect that Gateway is having in the community. The positive effect we're having, just in terms of, I'm not talking necessarily about going out and preaching, but just in terms of going out and loving people and demonstrating Christ's love and wanting to make a difference in people's lives. And that's what God's called us to do. You see, and just read these verses, 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 15. But thank God he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal possession. He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. How? Like a sweet perfume. Now, when you read that, I'm sure, because our minds tend to process this stuff, you just think of a sweet smell that starts to pervade. The thing that came to mind for me just then, as I said, it wasn't actually about perfume, but think of the smell of baking bread and how you go somewhere and just that sweet smell of baking bread starts to pervade everywhere. Or it could be perfume or whatever, but that's who we are. We are a sweet perfume with the presence of God. Do you know that? As you take the presence of God into your work tomorrow, you can be a sweet perfume taking his presence into your workplace. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. And we're going to look at that in more detail in one of the later sessions. But I just wanted to share with you that that's part of who we are as well. You know, if your heart is to reach out to your friends, good news, guys, you're not on your own. First of all, you've got Christ and the Holy Spirit, but you've got us right behind you and with you in that, right? Those were wonderful verses. And just while we're on the perfume, another verse that came to mind, and I am about to wrap up, I promise you. Proverbs 27:9 says, listen to this, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is what? It's as sweet as perfume and incense. So even when you're just willing to lend a listening ear, when you're willing to give advice, that counsel is as sweet perfume and incense. Okay, so we're carriers of the presence of God, a sweet perfume. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to finish there in terms of today. Just that was all I wanted to do, was just remind you of who you are in Christ, who the other people around this room are in Christ, including those who aren't here today who hopefully will listen to this later. You are children of God, heirs of a promise, living stones, His ambassadors, and we together are being built into something amazing for His glory in Caerphilly. That's what we're about. And as we wrap up today, and we're going to finish with a couple of songs, I just want to issue a little challenge as we finish. This week, have a think about what you can do individually and possibly us collectively to develop our relationships. You see, that's somebody already calling my wife to encourage you. You see, that's happening already. What we can do individually and collectively to develop our relationships together. Now, here's one thought, and again, I'm not going to dictate, but personally, I'd love this if somebody wanted to pick this up and run with this. Here's a thought. It's an idea I've had for a while, and I will confess I've done nothing with it, but maybe one of you will, this will just take hold if you want to do something with it. I'd love us to do a fellowship meal, where before the service on a Sunday, or even after the service, I really don't mind, we all bring food into here or into there, and we all get together, could be at 3 o'clock, whatever you want to do, whatever somebody wants to organize, and let's get together and just share food together before the service. Let's be family. You know, a number of folks get together every Sunday for family lunch. Let's do family tea or whatever you want to make it. Let's share food together, let's chat together, let's catch up, and then wouldn't it be wonderful to just walk into this room and then praise Him? So I'd be delighted if somebody wanted to take that up and run with it, and I'll help as well. But there's just a thought for you. So bless you. We're going to finish with some songs. But just, I want you to walk out of here today with your head held high, knowing that you've had a family gathering. You've got a God who never lets go, as we sung before. A God who is for you and is not against you. And you are His precious child. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for those amazing truths. And I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in the room here today. Lord, I thank you that you've brought them into my family. And Lord, I hope they thank you that I'm part of their family too. And Lord, I just thank you that those truths tell us that we are your children, we are precious to you, that you'll never let go of us. And Lord, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit, you'd equip us with all that we need to live lives together. In your precious name, amen. Okay,